This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of Get That Course Online. Over the next hour or so, we'll discuss what we've been up to in our businesses, top-of-mind topics relevant to trainers, a cool tool to use online, and an event to consider. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest, and we'll also cover listener letters, specific issues sent to us by you. You can contact us through Twitter on @TrainerTalkPod, or feel free to email either Sharon or me if you've got a challenge you'd like us to cover. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is podcast 19, giving away my age there. But anyway, Sharon, how are you doing? Have you recovered, first of all? Because it was the final of the Australian Open yesterday. And, you know, unfortunately, Rafa didn't quite get there. But are you okay? This is what everyone's going to be wondering.
Yeah, I'm okay. As I said to you before the podcast today, yeah, I think you were a little bit concerned.
I was, yeah.
Short state, but I wouldn't even get function this morning.
What's the point of anything? Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, you know, as I said to you before we came on the podcast, I've been extremely philosophical about it. I resigned myself the night before by studying the facts of the case. That, you know, when you're not played a match since September, it's probably unlikely you're going to go all the way.
Indeed. I think it's a superhuman display of his talent and ability and dedication that he got as far as the final. Because it's not an easy thing to get to a Grand Slam final, is it? So,
well, especially, you know, when you've not played a match since.
Exactly.
So, Good. So, actually, as I said to you, somebody had told me before the tournament started that he would get to the final, I would be more than happy. It's just that once they get to the final, you get a little bit greedy, don't you? But, you know.
Well, you know, cake and eating it.
I've
always enjoyed, you know, if I have some cake, it is going to get eaten. This is for sure. All right, so what else have you been up to this past week?
Well, this past week, both you and I have spent a lot of time on the LinkedIn challenge.
Indeed.
So this is the Trainer Talk LinkedIn challenge. So the one that we did before was we were participants with lots of other businesses.
Yeah.
Well, this is the one that Paul Copcutt and I have been running specifically for Trainer Talk members and Trainer Talk, not subscribers, people on my email subscribers.
Yes.
Which has been brilliant. Well, I would say that, wouldn't I?
Because I'm running it. It has been really good. And the people that are engaging in it seem really engaged in it, which is great. And I think there's a lot of really good constructive feedback going on, which is fantastic. Because sometimes you can find with these things, people are a bit wary about delivering constructive feedback, and they just say, oh no, it's lovely, isn't that great, and secretly thinking, actually, this is wrong, or that could be better, or whatever. But we've got some really, hopefully without sounding patronizing, we've got some really grown-up people in the challenge who are prepared to deliver constructive feedback and receive it as well. And I think that is just the synergy of all that going on, is just working so well to make everybody's output so much better. It's brilliant.
And so far we've been focused on the LinkedIn profile. That was the majority of the work that we did last week. And then Friday we started to look at publishing, which is, you know, what you actually put out on LinkedIn. And, you know, there was just so much good stuff that came out from that call. And it's funny, I had a quick pop over to LinkedIn this morning.
Yeah.
And I could already see in my news feed people who were on the LinkedIn challenge who have made a post this morning, following some of the things we talked about on Friday. And also I've been also noticing changes to people's profiles, you know, the people that are on the challenge. So that's great. I mean, it's really good when you can see people actually putting it into practice straight away, so, you know, which is great.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think, I mean, the timing for me is superb, just in terms of I recognised at the beginning of the year that actually LinkedIn was going to be a really important area for me to be in. I'm hesitating to call it social media. I know it is social media, but it's not social, it's business media. Because that's where people are that I want to talk to and I want to make aware of the sort of stuff that I do and how I can help, then it is something that I can't sort of dip in and out of when I feel like it and just ignore because it's just not interesting enough for me, or not so much that, but it's just not as user-friendly as some of the other platforms. But the timing of this particular challenge, I think, is really good. And also it's worked really well in that the first week of it, a lot of the stuff was stuff that I had done from the previous challenge that we did. Yeah. So profile, picture, heading, summary, that kind of thing. The only thing I haven't done is the videos, I think. So far, but I've been doing videos in a different way, just in posts and that kind of thing, so it's great. And I think that you're going to get some really happy people at the end of this, actually. Which is what you want, isn't it? You know, none of us put on challenges for people to go, yeah, that was all right. We want people to actually have changes and experience change and to see the benefit of doing the stuff that's been talked about. And it's obviously brilliant having Paul, even though he's in Canada, having him on hand, so to speak, to answer questions. And I came across one this morning, actually, which I wanted to ask him at some point, which I must remember, which is about when you go in and write a reply to a comment, or it says somebody's commented and you click on the thing and it doesn't show you the comment straight away. Sometimes you have to refresh to get the comment or the reply, and that's it's just silly little things like that that contribute to sort of not finding it as user-friendly as some of the other platforms. But of course, I suppose what we have to recognise is that Facebook has been doing this for longer and is doing it for a different reason and has developed. So what we've got now isn't what we started with. So it comes back to this concept of having your cake and eating it, doesn't it? You know, you want to take the best bits of one platform and have that transfer onto the other platform, and vice versa. But I think that's probably too much to wish for.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many LinkedIn glitches. That's the frustrating thing. I mean, before we came on the podcast this morning, I thought it would be a good idea, building on what we talked about on Friday, to copy, which we'll come on to in a second, my newsletter on Friday into a LinkedIn post.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, that'd be great, just like 2 minute job. Oh no, not a 2 minute job. Because, you know, I copied and pasted it and it was like, you have exceeded the character limit.
Of course, yeah.
Really? Have I? Yeah. So then I'm thinking, I'm sure I haven't. So then I then had to copy the thing. Well, I tried to start cutting out words and that didn't seem to work. Then I copied it into Word. And when I copied it into Word, it was 800 and something. I'm like, huh? I'm sure the character is 1,300, so it's not over. Then I discovered that actually what they do, they count the spaces between. So if you've got, like, if you put in lots of spaces, in which I did, it counts, you know, that as words. So I then had to go and delete all the space. And before you know it, an hour had gone by on this ridiculous post.
Yeah. I've come a cropper on that kind of thing before as well, where you just go, oh yeah, copy and paste, brilliant. Oh, all right, delete. Well, how can I say that even shorter? And, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm the world's best copywriter, but at the same time, there is a flow to my writing. And then it gets so cut. And you think, hang on, this must be less than what they're saying. And then you realise that pesky counting the spaces. I think that's cheating, that is. But anyway.
Absolutely cheating, yeah. So that was the LinkedIn challenge. That was good. And then the second thing was, building on the newsletter. So on Friday, and we were talking last week, weren't we, about this, my decluttering and changing my working practices. So I put that in the newsletter on Friday. And as you know, in my newsletter, I always encourage people to reply to me and say, you know, what do you think? And, you know, tell me your thoughts and all that kind of thing. And I always do get, you know, it's really nice. I always do get a few people replying every week, which is great.
Yeah.
On Friday, it literally, I was deluged by replies from people. I was like, oh my God, wow. So this thing that obviously really struck a chord with people about people feeling overwhelmed and having all these different messages and what can they do to sort of keep control of it. And so a lot of them were along the lines of, oh, absolutely agree with everything you say. Other people were like, oh, I'm doing that kind of thing already, which is great. Mm-hmm. The one that really people seem to really like was the tip where I said, only looking at your social media when you're in a position to reply.
Yes.
Lots of people sort of said, oh, I love that tip. And then one person who's a trainer talk member, Christine Spencer, said, made a comment, and she said that this year she's going to focus on face-to-face time and build refreshing, long-lasting and dynamic working relationships.
Oh, nice.
Lovely. So, and she said that she'd already started. Her aim was to do one every week, and yeah, she'd already started the process of doing that. And I thought, yeah, great, because again, you know, we can get so sucked into social media and doing everything digitally.
Yeah.
We forget, you know, to actually concentrate on face-to-face stuff, which is far more important, I think, really.
Yeah, I think, you know, everything has its place. There is a lot of merit in what you can get out of digital, and we talked about some of the benefits of social media last week in the last podcast, but you're right, it can go too far one way, can't it? So it's about making sure that we have this balance, as with all things, having the balance between developing the relationships that will progress us in whatever way that is, and making them sort of more than just a shallow in passing type thing, which I think is really important, really important. But yes, I think you've really struck a nerve, haven't you?
I know, with people on that one. Unbelievable. And so I've got to keep up with it now, otherwise I'll
You see, you're a pioneer going out into the wilderness, testing all these things for people. Yeah,
I know. And I did actually get a few emails from people who just sort of said, oh, fair play to you. Oh, well done. That's great. Done that, and which was also really nice. But speaking of failures and keeping up with things. Week 3 of the meditation.
Oh, dear.
Sadly, did not happen.
Oh, dear.
Well, there were two things which prompted this. Well, I was very naughty on Wednesday, so I didn't actually go. And two reasons why I didn't actually go. One, I was kind of knee-deep in work and stuff, and it got to about 7 o'clock. And I just thought, oh, and I'd had one of the days where I hadn't spoken to anybody on Zoom or whatever all day, so I hadn't put any makeup on and stuff. And it got to about 7 o'clock, and I just thought, oh, I'm going to have to go and get my makeup now and do all this stuff, you know, get in the car. And it was freezing cold on Wednesday night. And I just thought, I'm just getting in my car. And just like, I just thought, I can't do it. But but the previous week or a couple of weeks earlier, whatever, I was telling my hairdresser about this meditation thing. And he's quite into all this sort of yoga and party and sort of, you know, energy and all this sort of thing. So I was telling him about it, and I thought he'd be really, you know, kind of, oh, that's really great and everything. And he sort of said, I'm not really sure about all this meditation stuff. And I said, well, it was great, actually. I said, because, you know, neither was I. I said, but the second week, you know, I was, the first week I didn't get it. And too many things flying around in my head. But the second week I was actually finding I was falling asleep. And he was like, yeah, great. So you just paid a £10 to go to sleep.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, I suppose.
And I was like, yeah, okay, I see what you mean.
Fair enough.
You've done that just by going up the stairs and lying down.
Yeah, but, you know, it wouldn't have been guided. So, you know.
Exactly. Which is a touch facetious, but it was actually playing on my mind on Wednesday in terms of, oh, do I get in the car and just, or can I just go to sleep for free? And which is probably not the attitude, is it?
Well, I think the question is going to become, and this is something that there's a metaphor or an analogy or something in there somewhere for people aiming for a goal and suffering setbacks along the way.
Yeah.
The big question is, are you going to go this week?
Oh, yes, I will.
Right, there we are. Yeah. And that I think is the important thing. And, you know, this translates into so many different areas, doesn't it? We will all suffer setbacks and things not going the way that we'd anticipated or perhaps the way we would have liked, in the same way that we get lots of things that happen unexpectedly and brilliantly and, you know, really playing out well and giving us something to celebrate.
Yeah.
So it's not so much about the having the setbacks, it's about what you do after the setbacks.
Yeah.
And how you then go forward from that, if you indeed you choose to go forward. And your immediate reaction was, oh yes, I'm definitely going this week, which, you know, I think is absolutely the best place to be to continue with this and go, yeah, no, I still want to try and see if I can get somewhere with it. Because it would be very easy after a first setback to go, oh well, that's that then. And to let the habit go.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, yeah. I'll have that sort of fail, but
no, setback. It's not a failure. It's a setback.
Exactly. Yeah.
You just haven't done it yet. That's all.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Fine.
So how was your week then?
It was good. So I did another set of videos and I did another webinar on the Thursday, and this one was all about 10 steps to your online course and integrating it into your business. So it's sort of the 10 steps that freelance trainers need to think about in order to get an online course up and running, basically. I mean, it's not... Obviously, in a one-hour webinar, I'm not going to be able to give people the training to get an online course up and running, but I can give them the categories of things they need to think about and what order they need to think about them in. So that was the webinar. In the videos in the run-up to it on LinkedIn, I was talking about all the different blockers that there are for us, that not only are they blockers in their own right, sometimes they gang up with each other as well. So things like distraction and overwhelm go together very well, because you find yourself being distracted by all sorts of things, and then all of a sudden overwhelm comes along and says, hey, there's far too much for you to think about. Then you also have the blocker of indecisiveness that comes in and goes, well, I don't know which direction to go in. And then another blocker, you think, I'll ask some people, and you get conflicting advice because one person says one way and one person says the other way. So those were the videos. If anyone wants to look them up, they're on my LinkedIn feed. I took three in each video. So I was thinking, well, I want to do another webinar this week. And this one, I think, is the one that's going to get people excited, which is all about how to make sure your online course sells. And that's the thing that I've had quite a few conversations with people about, which is, you know, I want to do it at some point, but I want to know that it's going to sell. And nobody can tell me that, or how will I know if it will or it won't? And the point being that, and this is part of what will come out in the webinar, so by the time this podcast comes out, I will have already said it on the webinar, so it's not like I'm giving anything away, because the webinar will be this Thursday again at 4 o'clock. But the point is that so many people put together their online course and then treat the selling of it as a separate project. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they're starting again with another blank sheet of paper. So it's right now, I've got this online course, how do I sell it? And that's the wrong way of looking at it. You should think about the selling of it from the very first moment of thinking about putting together the course, because then you can build stuff into your course creation that makes the selling a natural extension of once you finish the final edit on the final video and got it all hosted and uploaded and what have you. So that's really the premise of the webinar this week, and I'm just sort of thinking about what I shall do on LinkedIn in the run up to it. And I've been thinking about it all weekend and thinking, well, shall I do videos again or shall I do something different? And then the other thing to throw into the mix was an experiment that I did last week, which was, it's my long held belief that people turn up to webinars pretty much on a whim. If it's within an hour or two or on the same day that they get notification of the webinar happening and they happen to be free, and it's a subject they're interested in. Now, I know for sure that nobody is going to turn down paid work just to turn up to a free webinar. particularly if they don't know me very well. Because, you know, my webinars are good and value-packed, but, you know, probably not worth your giving up of a paid gig for. Certainly not initially. And so I think the longer notice you give people of webinars, the more likelihood there is that they will sign up and go, oh, yeah, I'll go to that. And then when it gets closer to it, they've either got something else booked in or they forget about it or they have less of an appetite to go there. So what I did on Thursday, the webinar was at 4 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, I sent an email to my newsletter list. In fact, all the contacts on Get That Course Online, not just the people signed up for the weekly best practice emails, and said, look, this is an experiment, but it's a webinar in 2 hours' time. I want to see what happens. Yeah. And the results were that I doubled the number of registrations to the webinar, which was extraordinary. And what's more, a added side bonus was that more than 60% of people registered turned up, which was amazing, given that the general rule of thumb is that only about 25% or a quarter of the people that register will turn up to your webinar. So it was a bit nerve-wracking on one hand. I mean, you know, I still had already had people signed up to the webinar, so it wasn't like I was going to have nobody there and it would be tumbleweed, but it was still a bit nerve-wracking to go, right, okay, my list is my most valuable asset, and theoretically the people who are most likely to respond to something that I've got. So not telling them until 2 hours beforehand was a bit of a risk, but actually it worked really, really well. So I'm sort of thinking about, okay, how can I capitalize on that? Maybe not 2 hours before, maybe Thursday morning. I'll send the email out or something, and do it that way. But it was really surprising. So that was sort of kind of my week last week. I went to see a potential venue for the boot camp, but it was okay. But the room that they were suggesting that was used wasn't brilliant. And I think they didn't really understand what I was going to use it for. And, you know, we all know as freelance trainers, a room is either suitable for training or it's not. This was a case of not. So I've got two more venues to see this week. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. So, yeah, so, I mean, lots of other bits and pieces going on last week. And it was pretty frantic at the beginning of the week with the amount of stuff that I had on. But it eased off towards the end of the week, hence being able to do mad scientist experiments.
It's an important point you make about experiments, though, because I've done lots of experiments in my business and continue to do. I mean, the whole, you know, moving from Facebook, Mighty Networks is an experiment.
Absolutely.
You know, reviewed at the beginning of May. You know, and if the consensus is that it doesn't work, then we'll go back to how it was before.
Yeah.
And this whole social media thing, you know, taking the emails off my phone. Now 2 weeks since I've done that, I literally have not missed it at all. But then I know that if I do have a day where I think maybe I'm going to be out for 2 days, probably do need to have my email, I'll just pop it on, pop it back for a couple of days and then take it. So, you know, that's the great thing about running your own business, isn't it? That you can, you know, change things, tinker, tweak, make experiments. You know, all the time. And if we don't do that, we just get stale.
Yeah, completely.
Got to push things around.
I agree absolutely. I think we can run the risk of getting caught, as you say, of getting a little bit stale with what we're doing, and just because something might be working, it doesn't mean that something else won't work better. I think there are very few things in running your own business that are absolutely positively set in stone, it will be this way forever. In fact, I can't think of anything that's going to be like that. I think there are some things that last longer than others. So, for example, having a contact list, whether it's an email list or whether it's a list of clients, prospective clients, former clients, whatever that is, I think that is a useful tool. but there may at some point come a time where it is of less importance than something else that comes along. And I think the more that we can be prepared to be flexible, we are the very nature of flexible in terms of our operating writing practices. There's nobody else sitting over us saying you can't do it this way, you can't do it that way. You know, obviously within legal parameters or not if you're part of the mafia. But you know, we have the ability, as you say, to change things in an instant in our own business. Yeah. And it's up to us to do that because we don't have this kind of committee waiting to give us their two penneth on something.
Imagine, do you remember back in the old days when you were at work? You'd come into the office and you got this amazing idea.
Yeah, you'd be really enthusiastic.
Tell your boss that you've got this amazing idea and then he'd go, oh, bore. Yeah. Well, no, can't do that. Well, let's have a meeting about it.
God, or a meeting about the meeting.
I wish I'd never bothered with that.
Completely. And we used to have an awful lot where I was. There was an awful lot of, oh yeah, we tried that and it didn't work.
It didn't work, yeah, I know.
Okay, all right. And I think that's probably a sign that you've been somewhere too long.
Or the worst one was my husband used to say, can you give me a business case for it?
Like, strangle it. Well, I can imagine for your colour profile, yes. What? You want me to sit down and write facts and figures? It's a good idea. Can't you see it's a good idea?
I've done that. I could have just done it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, thank God we are out of that particular arena and we have this freedom to experiment and to try things out. And also, I think if we can have the right mindset about it, which is that it's not failure if it doesn't work, it's just something that we've learned. So last week was experimentation week.
Yes.
Really, more than anything else. So it's good. It was good.
It's all exciting.
Yeah. And that, I think, leads on very well to the top of mind topic that you wanted to talk about this week.
Yeah, it definitely does. And so this is inspired by one of our lovely trainer talk members, Anne Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed a post that she put in the trainer talk group this week. And I'll just read it out to you. She said, I've just completed my first webinar. Mm-hmm. Had internet problems. Grr. And only one live attendee. No dead ones there, as far as I know. But I've done it. And even if I get no sign-ups for it, I will learn from it, improve what I have already, and roll it out again.
Yes.
And I just thought, isn't that fantastic?
It is.
Fantastic. Fair play to her, because the thing that I wanted to just talk about and it was brought to mind by reading a post was this, you know, done is better than perfect.
Yay! My favourite, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, instead of, you know, this mm-hmm. sort of procrastination in terms of, oh, I better not do, oh, what if this, what if that, and, you know, the fear of making mistakes, just like we've been talking about with experiments.
Yeah.
A lot of people have this massive fear about screwing up, or what people might think of them, or what if nobody turns up, or what if the, you know, the technology doesn't work or whatever, and before you know it they talk themselves into not doing it, and actually the original idea was a great one.
Yes.
So I just thought it was just so inspirational and a perfect example of just getting it out there.
I think it's brilliant. And what you might not know is that was connected with Anne's online course, which she then subsequently launched and got her first sale within a few hours of launching, which was just brilliant. I'm so pleased for her. And this, again, funnily enough, comes back to what I was saying about the selling process being part of what you're thinking about at the very beginning. She picked her subject based on the thing that was most popular with people that were talking to her. And just, I'm so happy that we've got somebody else that can now see the benefit of just getting on and doing and putting it out there. And I think you've got a blog post on this, haven't you?
I have, done is better than perfect.
Yeah, we'll definitely put the link to that in the show notes, because I love that saying, and it's so true. Done is better than perfect, because you can have something that you're perfecting, but if nobody knows it's there and it's not available to them, they can't buy it, they can't consume it from you, and that doesn't do anybody any good. And I dread to think of the number of brilliant ideas that have never seen the light of day because somebody just couldn't take that final step. Which can be very courageous and very brave to take, because our internal dialogue, unfortunately, has a habit of trying to second guess what's going to happen and trying to stop us actually, you know, putting these things out there. So I think brilliant example.
It is, but you know, the fear of making mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, mistakes are good.
Yes, definitely.
Mistakes can help us find out what actually works and what mm-hmm. does, as opposed to what we think might work. And also I think the best thing about it is that it just increases our confidence by, you know, making us realize that, hey, it's not perfect, mm-hmm. but nothing happened, you know, the world didn't end as a result. And you know, I mean, I've done many a webinar where, you know, in the early days of doing webinars, I had two children sort of banging on the door, just biscuits and whatever.
Yeah.
I've had barking dogs. I've had technology that hasn't always worked perfectly.
Indeed.
I've got halfway through a webinar and realised that I haven't pressed the record, but, you know, I've done all sorts of things. But people are still with me.
Yeah,
you know,
people
don't mind.
No, not at all.
People understand that these things happen, you know, particularly with technology. I mean, you can have the most beautifully prepared webinar and everything, but if your internet goes down in the middle of it, then there's nothing you can do about it.
Completely.
And quite often I would say to people at the start of webinars, you know, you know, we are at the mercy of technology, and should anything happen and you drop out of the call or I just disappear, don't panic, you know, just dial up again, come back in again, and if the worst comes to the worst, I will just record it and I will send it to you tomorrow. So, you know, there's always ways around things. And
completely. I agree, absolutely. And I'm with you there. I think pretty much everything that could go wrong on a webinar I've done or experienced. All sorts of horror stories, which I won't bore everybody with now. But I think the learning that we get from something not working is so, so powerful. I mean, one of the things that I do on a winter's weekend is, I'm sure I've spoken about this before, is I assess and coach hockey umpires, field hockey umpires, drawing upon my experience of having got to National League level and retired from that, and now giving back to the umpiring community. And we've got a raft of this season, so the season starts sort of September-ish with friendlies, and we've got a raft of newish umpires that have come in and have gone very far very quickly in relative terms, and now have reached a bit of a plateau. And there's no simple way of helping them to understand that you have to have some things that basically you cock up, because that's how you learn, and that's how you draw upon that experience, so that the next time it happens, you have a different set of choices to make about how you deal with it, because you know what your instinct was, and that either did or didn't work out. And if it's a cock up, then it probably didn't work out. Okay, fine. In which case, you won't do that next time. You'll try something different, and you'll see what the effect of that is. And you know, having umpires that always have a brilliant match every time just isn't good for them, because they don't get those sorts of learnings. But equally, helping umpires who are very ambitious understand that, and you know, are disappointed even if they get a top of panel mark, because what they want is above panel, because that means that can move them up to the next level. And it's still good. You still had a really good performance. It's just that, you know, there are some things that you need to experience and you need to go through in order to make you a stronger, better umpire or fit for dealing with those sorts of things at a later point. So yeah. Things like, you know, webinars going wrong, it's just like nothing phases me on those now because it's all happened. It's just, yeah, whatever, it's fine. Oh no, I've only made up one eye or something. It's like, yeah, no deal, notice, it'll be fine. Although invariably, if something like that happens, I do actually point it out myself. So it's, you know.
I mean, open workshops is another one. The number of times I've heard people say, I'd really like to run an open workshop, but what if I only get one person? What if, like, nobody comes? Like, if you get one person, that's one person that more than you had before. That's And you can build on that.
So completely.
You've got to start somewhere.
Definitely. I've done that in my first year of trading. As you well know, I was trying to put on some open workshops, and for a few of them, I had two or three people booked on, and then two people dropped out, and that meant one person got one-to-one training. So when I said to them, I said to them, you know, for the very low price of what you're paying for this group training, you're now getting one-to-one training. Yeah. The person there loved it. I've been on the receiving end of that when I was travelling in New Zealand in 2011. I booked in for one of these group kayaking excursion things, and I was the only person booked on at that time, which meant it was me and the instructor in a two-person kayak, and we went out, we saw a pod of 150 dolphin, and it was amazing, and it was just us. And that was fantastic.
I know. And so many people say that, you know, they email me or they message me and they say, oh, you know, I've only got one person booked. I think I'm going to cancel it. No. I say to them, do not cancel it. You've got one person there who's going to be delighted. And, you know, it's just so important. They're a paying customer. So, you know,
exactly.
Give them a lot. So.
Exactly. So, yeah. So I think that... If you can get yourself into the mindset of, you know, remembering that done is better than perfect, and getting something out there is the most important thing, then I think that will go a long way to helping you be successful. Definitely. All righty. Are we ready to move on to the dog walking digest?
We are indeed.
Indeed.
That's something that you wanted to mention.
Well, it was interesting.
Digest.
Yeah. And it was, I'm going to come at it from a sort of a roundabout route, because there was scandal in the dog park this week. Because for those of you that don't know or haven't listened to my tales of Scamp, we walk the local park near us is also home to an 18-hole golf course. The park was there first, the golf course was there second. However, every now and again there is tension between dog walkers and golfists. I do not call them golfers because they don't pay very much money. It's about half the cost of a normal golf club. They use the publicly owned council facility and call it their golf club, and give evil stares at anybody that dares to walk in off the street. And it's all kind of, you know, yeah, fine, whatever. You don't really worry about it. However, a couple of years ago, one of the local dog walkers, he decided he was going to self-appoint as the liaison between golfers and dog walkers, which, you know, it was all very kind of, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. And looking back on it now, we suspect he actually probably caused more problems than good. But anyway, I ended up getting involved in a meeting at one point, and honestly, it was like little boys peeing up the wall in terms of, well, I've walked here for 40 years. Well, I've walked here for 50 years between him and the golfer. And it was just, oh, for God's sake, I've only been coming here for 2 years, but I can tell you, you know, X, Y, Z. Anyway. This chap then ended up becoming a volunteer park ranger and had the use of one of the golf buggies with a sign on the front saying park ranger, which... And he'd go around and tell people how to live their lives. And that annoyed a few people, so he was taken off that volunteer duty, etc., etc. Anyway, long story short... The scandal is that he has apparently run off with another woman. So this, of course, went round the community like wildfire last week. And this is why it's a roundabout way of thinking about it. It's kind of this sort of thing is nothing more than salacious gossip. And we don't know any details about anything except that it gets lost in the translation because it goes from person to person to person to person. Yeah. And you just think, do you know what? Who am I to judge what has actually happened? Because all I've heard is from somebody that, you know, I like this person, but I don't know his surname, yeah. who told me. You know, he's a nice old guy, walks his dog, Bella, but I've got no idea what his surname is. His wife comes out with him sometimes. She's called Val. Great. But it's, you know, I don't know this person. And all he said to me is, oh, did you hear that this other person has run off with another woman? And it's like, oh, right, okay. And then other people are going, oh, did you know? Did you know? And all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, for God's sake. You know,
it all happens in Bournemouth, hey?
Well, apparently so. Apparently so. And apparently somebody is talking to somebody else to find out who it is. It's like, it's none of our business. It's just, for goodness sake, you know, I have no idea what goes on behind their closed doors and how happy or not he was with his, I presume, wife, could have been partner, don't know, saw them out walking together sometime. It's just, you know, whatever. And honestly, I mean, you know, my mum's on her third marriage, so she's had her fair share of, nope, don't like you, I'll have another one. And so but she's so happy now.
Yeah.
But, you know, anybody looking at the situation from the outside might come to different conclusions. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just struck me that even though people on the one hand will go, oh no, that's terrible, salacious gossip, da da da, on the other hand it'll be, oh, but did you hear about this, that and the other? And it's like, okay, you can pass that to me if you want, but it's gonna stop here. It's just, you know, I have no interest in having those sorts of discussions about these things that are going on. And it's kind of, I don't know if it's something to do with my face, but other people seem to delight in saying, oh, did you hear? Now, they might do it to everybody. But at the same time, I do seem to have quite a lot of people that I know of the regulars from the dog walk just sort of going, oh, and this happened and that happened. And I must have the sort of face that says, yes, I'm really interested in this stuff. Please tell me. It's just, okay, all right. So yeah, so that's kind of news from the park this week. But it's, I think it speaks to the wider thing about, we don't know what's going on in anybody's lives. Anybody's lives. We don't know what they're dealing with. We don't know what private battles they're having. And you do get some of these a little bit holier than thou posts sometimes of saying, you have no idea what's going on in somebody else's life and da da da. But the sentiment is right. We don't know everything that's going on in somebody else's life. And, you know, for somebody to make a decision like that, I get that sometimes people are quite callous with other people's feelings, but I don't think most people are like that. And so, you know, for me, it's just kind of, okay, all right, it's your life. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. I have a hard enough job telling myself how to live my own life, let alone trying to tell somebody else how to do it. So that was what came from the park this week.
Oh, that's insane.
It does. It's a hotbed of something. I don't know what, but, you know, clearly somebody will tell me at some point. So, you know. Anyway, there we go. Event this week, what you got for us?
Yes, well, again, after the newsletter on Friday, one of the email replies that I received was from Grace Marshall. Don't know whether you remember Grace. She was a Train the Talk live speaker, probably about 3 years or so, probably a bit more actually, time flies.
Yeah.
And her particular area of specialism is time management, but not really, she doesn't really call it time management.
Yeah.
But what she does call it, the title of her course is How to Be a Productivity Ninja.
Oh, I like that. I automatically like anything with ninja in the title, it has to be said. Yeah.
Brilliant, yeah. And so the course looks at, you know, how to deal with interruptions, how to deal with your paperwork, your emails, ideas, information, how to sift through all that and get to the important stuff. And then from that, define your actions, stay organised and stay in control. So it sounds a really great workshop, and that is happening in Birmingham on the 29th of March at the studio in Birmingham. And the best thing is, the reason why she contacted me is that she's going to give TrainTalk members 20% discount for the workshop.
Wow, fantastic.
So you're going to put the link in the notes, yeah?
Yep.
And if you want to attend the workshop and you want to get the 20% discount, all you need to do is apply the discount code.
Yeah, now.
Which is...
No. Because not everybody that listens to this is a TrainTalk member, right?
This is true, but I think it was basically just for subscribers, so that's fine. Subscribers and podcast listeners, yeah.
Okay, all right, we'll put that in the show notes then.
Because I'm going to put it in the newsletter next week, and it's for all my... Okay. So we can count podcast listeners as a...
Lucky listeners.
I know.
Lucky listeners. 20% discount on something with Ninja in the title. Let's flood the booking.
Rafa can lose and still I can make these great offers.
Well, you know, imagine what will happen on the podcast in a week where Rafa wins. We'll find out this year, won't we?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Excellent. Great. That sounds really good. Really, really good.
Trainer talk in capitals.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll put that on the show notes, the link to that, and also the code, so people can copy and paste that if they need to. Good stuff. All righty. So on to the cool online tool. And this week, it's quite timely, actually. There's been a recent article that has come out saying that a high proportion of millennials, and we all know that whatever generation we're put in, we all act exactly the same, don't we? But a high proportion of millennials are increasingly watching video with captions turned on. Right?
Yes.
Because it helps their understanding and all this kind of stuff. There's all sorts of reasons behind it. And I have long said in any videos, not just for online courses, but any that you put out there, best practice is to have captions. Because
yes.
when people are watching videos on social media, they might not be in a position to actually listen with the volume up and to hear what's going on. And actually, sometimes some people prefer to watch a video and just get the gist of what's going on with the captions. Yeah, absolutely. So captions is very definitely, whether it's captions or subtitles, and there is a difference between the two. Captions will also capture things like music or sounds in the background, whereas subtitles is just the words. So it depends on the type of video as to what's going to be the most appropriate. But if you are putting out a number of videos and you either don't have the editing software to create captions yourself, or it's just not something that interests you, you're not a quick typist or anything like that, then the service that I would recommend is rev.com, rev.com. And they will do both transcripts and captions.
Yeah.
You have to choose one or the other, or you can pay for both. But it's a it starts at $1 a minute for whatever it is you want transcribed. So if you've got a 3 to 4 minute video that you want to have captions, a caption file on it that you can add to it, to take account of this idea of captions is better than no captions, then rev.com is a really great place to start. And I know that they have incredibly high standards for the people that they allow to do these captions. So it's not just, oh look, the police are the ambulance is coming along to say yes, it's absolutely true. I know that they have very, very high standards in terms of the people that they allow to do these captions, and also for the work that actually goes out to what they call their clients or customers. But it's dead easy to submit something. But part of the reason that I know that they have very high standards is because I occasionally do some captions for Rev. If I've got a slow week or something like that, then because I've qualified and they only accept, I think, 10% of people that apply to do the captioning. So if I've got a slow week and I've got a bit of time to kill, then my typing's pretty quick and I do my own captions anyway. So I can just go in there and earn a few dollars here and there. It's quite nice when it comes around to Christmas because it
lovely.
Pays for Christmas presents, which is nice. So rev.com is what I would recommend. We had a post, I think, in the Trainer Talk community the other day with somebody asking about this very thing, which is what made it spring to mind. But also seeing this article that's come out about how captions are really popular. And of course, originally they were developed for people that were hard of hearing. But it's just something, it's a way that technology has become embraced by the wider general public, I guess.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I have my phone on silent pretty much all the time. So when I do go into social media, I tend to have I don't have the sound on anyway. So, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And the number of times I just sort of, you know, I just want a quick idea of what the video is like. I don't want to have to play the whole thing and get my headphones out and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. It's just like, you know, have a quick look at what the words are. If it looks interesting, I'll either save the post or I'll watch it there and then or whatever. Yeah. But I think it's a bonus. It's a help. So I think in addition to getting into the habit of using video, whether it's you on the video or not, although it's better if it is you, then absolutely get into the habit of having captions on those videos as well. Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes time won't allow, but they can be very quick on the turnaround for doing that. So there we are. That's this week's cool tool to use online.
Brilliant.
All right. I think we're there, aren't we?
I think we're there. Yeah, done for another week.
Yay! Excellent. All right. Well, as usual, shout out to all our listeners. If you've got anything that you'd like us to discuss or cover, then please do let us know. I meant to ask the other week, actually, Sharon, with your removing all your business stuff from Twitter.
Yes.
The Trainer Talk, at Trainer Talk Pod Twitter handle, does that still exist? Do you still have an account for that?
I still have an account for it, but I'm still deciding maybe you and I need to have a conversation about what we do with that.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. So, you know, if it's there, if you are using at Trainer Talk Pod, then one or other of us will see it. But if you want to get in touch with us, probably safest to use our email addresses for now. So, Sharon, yours is?
I would say so. Yeah.
Your email address?
Yeah. Sharon at the Trainers Training Club. .co.uk.
Perfect. And I'm Jeanette. I'll give you the Get That Course Online one. So it's gt@getthatcourseonline.com. There we are. All right. That's it for this week. Marvellous. So no 19 is done. Thank you for your time and company. And we'll speak to you again next week. All right then. Bye.